This episode of the podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Visit firstrow.ca and use the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu, definitely the best mouthguard out there on the market. Visit sisuguard.com and use the promo code FNP10 to save 10% on your order. Friday, May 11th. Fight Night Picks episode number 9. Let's let that beat drop. Never miss that beat drop. All right, so Friday, May 11th. We've got one fight card today that's of note. I'm not really going to focus too much on it, but I will cover some of the news surrounding it. And then tomorrow and Saturday, we have a whole bunch of fight cards. So I'm going to try and navigate you through Saturday, figure out what cards are worth watching, what fights are worth watching on those cards, and where to flip the channel. So without further ado, as I mentioned last weekend, M1 Challenge 91 coming at you from Shenzhen, China. It's on Saturday night, 5:30 Eastern. You've got kind of a mixed card. You've got some good fights. You can watch them on M1's global app, or you can watch it at m1global.tv. So, main event, you've got 23-8 Mikhail Zayats taking on 10-4 Xiao Malkalis. You know, I focused on this fight a bit on Monday, but, you know, Zayats, if you really look into it, he took a 3-year layoff after he lost to King Mo in Bellator, came back last year in M1 and beat Marcus Vantanen by decision. If you have a look deeper into his record, he's got 12 wins by submission. He's 36 years old, so he's kind of over that hump a bit. Malkalis, on the other hand, he's 30. He's lost his last two fights that were in the UFC, so he was in the UFC. If you have a look, he fought quite a bit there. Lost to Josh Sam and Brad Tavares, so I mean, there's no harm there. But after those two losses, in 2017, he ended up coming over to M1. And so far, he's gone 1-1 in M1. So overall, he's 1-3 in his last four. He's fought good competition. Expected to be a close fight. You know, Malkalis, he's going up from middleweight to light heavyweight. I would assume that this fight's going to go to decision, and in my opinion, take Zayats for the win. You know, you can't always go by record to pick a fight, but if you look, you know, last four, last five, you take into account that Malkalis, he's younger, but he's going up a division. It's the first time he's going to be fighting at light heavyweight in M1. And he's taking on a seasoned guy like Zayats. So take Zayats to win the fight. On the undercard of this card, this M1 card, is my featured up-and-comers from this week. So I had Rafael Kianchuk taking on Matt Klempner. You know, Kianchuk 2-0 as a pro, 1-1 as an amateur. And he's got 3 knockout wins. And in those 3 last fights, he's been in the cage a total of 59 seconds. So I mentioned that on Monday. Likes to get the finish. I posted a link, I believe, and if I didn't, I'll check and I'll put it up, of his last amateur fight where he knocked out the poor guy in like 38 seconds. Really quick finish, and he's got tons of power. But he's taking on Klempner, who's 2-0 as a pro, 2-0 as an amateur, with 4 first-round submission wins. So a perfect matchup. Like I said, I think on Monday, my GIF Just Bleed win. You know, I love it when a submission style guy takes on a hard puncher like Kianchuk. And I saw somebody say on Twitter earlier this week, a respected journalist, oh, how many times are we going to have to watch a submission specialist take on a brawler and a puncher? Those are great fights. I mean, you see it all the time, but it's a lot of fun. You never know who's going to win. So expect a good fight. And if you get a chance to watch the undercard there on M1's website or on their app, it should be pretty entertaining. So also on Saturday, you have ONE Championship, Grit and Glory. It's going to start at 7 a.m. Eastern from Jakarta, Indonesia. Like I mentioned on Monday, so typically their undercard you can watch free online, whether it's on their website. I think they post them on Facebook and Twitter as well. They're a pretty savvy social media type company. And they're going a step further. So if you download their app right now, you can watch the fights for free. That main card's usually a pay-per-view. So it's a pretty good marketing plan. I said that on Monday. Like, I usually watch Bellator undercard, and I have to lug my tablet out to the living room, plug in the HDMI, and watch it that way. I have a hard time with their app. But one championship really stepping up to the plate and offering something new to fight fans. So your main event, you've got 7-1 Alex Silva taking on 12-1 Yoshitaka Naito for the 115-pound belt. You know, they fought before in 2017 in December. It was a unanimous decision win for Silva. And I expect Silva to do nothing less than get another win and kind of go on a tear in that strawweight division and won. Really good fighter, great record, and a really exciting guy to have. In that co-main event, you've actually got two middleweights. I said on Monday, most of the fights are from strawweight to bantamweight, but this one, middleweight fight between 10-3, Leandro Attiaitis taking on 9-1, Vitaly Big Dash. Should be a great fight. You know, two guys that have some good records. Like I mentioned earlier, records aren't always everything, but, you know, I expect Big Dash to come out. He lost in his last fight, but it was his first loss, of course, and he's going to get the finish. These are two guys that throw bombs and expect a really exciting fight early morning on Saturday. Another big card this weekend. You've got Bama 35 from Dublin, Ireland. That's Saturday at 4:30 Eastern. You got a welterweight heavy card. You know, your main event, 14-2, Alex Da Kid Lahore, taking on 17-8, Ion Pascu. So, I mean, both guys fought in Bellator. Lahore went 2-0 last year in Bellator. And in Pascu's last fight, he took on Ed Ruth. It was a catchweight 180-pound fight. It was more or less so Ruth could start his move down to welterweight. In his first fight in Bellator, fought it at middleweight. And he mentioned that he had a hard time even making middleweight when he was wrestling. So good for him to take the initiative, go down to 170. And also good for Bellator to give him a chance to gradually go down, not having any weight loss issues or cardio issues. So they fought at 180. Ruth got the win. Now you've got Pascu, who trains at SBG. So it's pretty good to see him fight in Ireland. And in my opinion, you know, take Lahore to get the win. He was on a 10-fight win streak before losing his last fight by split decision. If you have a look into his record, he's got 7 knockouts, 5 submission wins. You know, Pascu, he's got 9 KOs and a 17 wins, 17-8, but he's 36. So, I mean, take Lahore to get the win, and you should be safe there. Biggest card this weekend, in my opinion, I'm going to be watching it for sure, is Bellator 199. That's in San Jose. Main card starts at 9 p.m. Eastern, and definitely have your eyes glued to Paramount Network for this one. So, main event, you've got King Mo taking on Ryan Bader. Like I said on Monday, it's a fight that doesn't make a lot of sense. I've watched their version of Embedded. I've watched a lot of build-up to the fight. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have a light heavyweight fight in your heavyweight Grand Prix. It holds up a division. You know, King Mo, like I said on Monday, he's got that experience. He fought his last 3 fights at heavyweight. Beat Satoshi Ishii, and he beat Rampage in Bellator. Both of those wins were by decision. And, of course, he lost to Mirko Krokop by knockout in Ryzen in 2016. And you can have a look on... It's on YouTube. It's all over the place. But you can have a look at that. Krokop outstruck him and got the TKO win. So he's 2-1 in his last 3. All of them are at heavyweight. And he has that experience. But at the same time, you know, he's a little bit older. Both these guys, you know, it's kind of a story. Ryan Bader wants some redemption. I guess they lost a wrestling fight to King Mo earlier on in his career. So they both got their eyes on the prize. They want to win this heavyweight belt. And Bader, of course, your late heavyweight champ. You know, really similar styles, wrestling backgrounds. If you look at Ryan Bader, though, in his last fight, it was a second round TKO win over Linton Vassell. He beat Phil Davis to win the championship before that fight. So he's retained his belt. He's won 4 in a row, and 3 of those were by TKO or KO. So I'm going to take Bader to win. You know, it's going to be a wrestling heavy match. If you're into that, that's great. I am for sure. And I actually expect Ryan Bader to get a TKO win. I think he's going to be able to dominate. I think just that he's got that edge. You know, he's had to gain a bit of weight to make weight, of course, but he's still really explosive and obviously king of the light heavyweight division. So I expect Bader to win the fight, and, you know, he's going to go on and face Mitrione. Mitrione's going to have a huge size advantage over him, and like I said, I think it's going to be Mitrione and Fedor rematch in the finals. But yeah, definitely take Ryan Bader in this fight, but it's a really exciting fight. Honestly, there's more of a story here than there is in the UFC 224 main event with Nunes and Pennington, so have an eye on Bellator 199. Fight before that, your co-main. You got John Fitch taking on Paul Daly. Everyone's favorite boring fighter, John Fitch, as they say, I guess. It was strange because I saw earlier this week that Paul Daly said that MMA had lost its appeal and he wasn't really interested in fighting anymore. Like, you gotta fight this weekend, man. You fight on Saturday. And Fitch, I read or I heard, you know, he said he wants kind of a perfect storm to align where he can fight GSP again. If you have a look, Fitch has won his last four dating back to 2015. Daly's 2-2 in his last four. Of those two losses, he lost to Rory McDonald and he lost to Douglas Lima. So, I mean, two of your best welterweights in the world, let alone in Bellator. His two wins came over Lorenz Larkin and Charlie Ward. And, you know, it's kind of a tough matchup to pick. Daly's 36, knockout artist. Fitch is 40, wrestling guy. He doesn't really get knocked out. You know, he's got two knockout losses on his record. But really, his only big knockout loss was kind of a one punch to big rig Johnny Hendricks when Hendricks still had punching power. So, I mean, he's still got a chin. So definitely pick John Fitch in that fight. It'll most likely go to decision. If Daly's not able to get a finish, it's going to go to decision and expect to see John Fitch's hand get raised. Fight before that, you get 27-10, Chuck Congo taking on. Somehow he's still considered a prospect, but 10-6, Javi Ayala. You know, in Ayala's last fight, he fought Roy Nelson. That was Roy Nelson's Bellator debut in September 2017. He's 2-3 in his last five. Congo's won five decisions in a row dating back to 2015. And that fifth fight, I guess, if you will, was against Alexander Volkov, and he got the win. So it's a tough pick. I mean, Ayala goes balls to the wall every fight. Bellator has they've got a free fight up there. It's on YouTube. It's on their website as well, on their app. You get to see a Javi Ayala KO. I'm going to take Ayala to win by KO, TKO. This fight's kind of interesting because I was under the understanding that, you know, Chuck Congo is supposed to be the alternate for the heavyweight tournament, but it's come to light that now Roy Nelson and Mirko Krokop, that fight's going to be basically to decide who's going to be the alternate for the heavyweight tournament. So, fight coming up at Bellator 200, you know, in a few weeks, and you've got Roy Nelson, so if he wins, he was already in the heavyweight tournament, and let's say Chael Sonnen gets injured, he's going to fight Fedor. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm still pretty riled up about it. But, you know, Chuck Congo, Javi Ayala should be an interesting fight, heavyweight fight, so there's always going to be interest. And Congo, who's on a win streak, Ayala, who's very exciting, so who knows what could happen. But again, take Javi Ayala to win by TK or KO. That's a pretty safe bet there. Fight before that, you get super prospect, greatest wrestler there is. You've got Aaron Pico taking on 19-8 Lee Morrison. I'm going to throw a curveball at you here, so Pico's won his last two. He lost his pro debut in Bellator. Everyone was pretty surprised. Lost by submission. Morrison's won his last four in a row. Finished three of them by submission. One by knockout. But it was kind of on a bit of a regional circuit. It's a big test for Aaron Pico. He's about a minus 500, minus 550 favorite to win the fight. Here's the curveball. Morrison's never been knocked out before. And Pico's won his last fight by KO or TKO. Take Morrison to win this fight. I mean, take him to win by submission. The odds I looked at today, depending on what website you go on, Morrison's between a plus 350 and a plus 400 underdog, and I think that's a pretty safe bet. They're not really throwing Aaron Pico a slouch, and he's not a lock to win, in my opinion. You know, he's 2-1 as a pro, taking on 19-8 Morrison. Morrison's got the fights to back up that record, so take Lee Morrison to win. Your first fight on the main card there, you've got 7-0 Carrington Banks taking on 9-2 Adam Piccolotti. A lot of commentary on this fight. You know, it's going to be an exciting fight, a fight of the night type fight on the card. You know, Banks, 7-0, like I said, one knockout, one submission, five decisions. Likes to go to decision. Piccolotti's lost his last two, so he's 9-0 before. But his win before the two losses, he beat Brandon Gertz in 2016. And he's got seven finishes in the nine wins. So, in my opinion, take Piccolotti. I think he's going to stop the skid. He's going to win by submission, but otherwise expect a great fight. I mean, to me, I'll get into it, but I think this is going to rival, like, in total, fight of the night. It's either going to be Carrington Banks, Adam Piccolotti, or John Lineker, Brian Kelleher. So you're going to have to keep your hand on the remote there. So like I said, UFC 224, it's from Jeunesse Arena in Rio. Main card starts at 10 o'clock Eastern. And to me, there's absolutely no build-up to this main event. I don't see a point to it. I mean, I'm an Amanda Nunes fan, but if you go through their division, it's... To me, Caitlin Vieira is probably the closest to fighting for a championship, but she just fought this spring already, so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to throw her a title shot like just like that. But, I mean, Raquel Pennington hasn't fought in UFC since UFC 204 in November 2016, so that was her last fight. Coincidentally, that was actually the last time that Conor McGregor fought when he beat Eddie Alvarez. And, you know, Nunes, since then, she's defended her title twice. She fought at UFC 207 and UFC 215. She beat Ronda Rousey. She beat Valentina Shevchenko in a close decision win. All I'm going to say is take Nunes to win by TKO. It's probably going to be, you know, second or third round. I won't take anything away from Raquel Pennington. She trains hard in Colorado. You always see her in the gym in any promo. She's always helping out Tisha Torres and a gym rat for sure. So she's definitely going to be strong. You know, she's going to try and wrestle. But again, Nunes has a jiu-jitsu background, and she's got excellent striking. Plus, she's more seasoned. She's fought more recently. So take Nunes in that fight. Your co-main event is probably the most interesting fight on the card, on that UFC 224 card. You've got Kelvin Gastelum taking on Jacare Souza. I think it's a pretty easy pick. You know, there's a lot of people that are behind Kelvin Gastelum in his last fight. He got that knockout win over Michael Bisping. But again, Bisping took that fight on short notice after losing his title to GSP. And he took it on, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. He said he was still strong. He had a really good camp. It was the easiest time he'd ever lost a weight. So great fight for him. Got knocked out pretty quick. I know everybody's on the Gastelum train. I'm a big Gastelum fan. There's a shirt in my closet. I'm a fan. But at the same time, it's an easy way to kind of judge the fight for me is if you go back and you watch Gastelum take on, that's still my boy, Chris Weidman. Weidman's style kind of aligns with Jacare's. Now, you're going to say, hey, Weidman's a wrestler, Jacare's jiu-jitsu guy, but they both have that that takedown offense. So if you watch that Gastelum and Weidman fight, Weidman beat him on the feet in the first round, and then in the second and the third round, he got him to the mat and wrangled him, and he eventually won in the third round by head and arm choke. So if you look at Souza, he arguably has the best jiu-jitsu in... Well, he definitely has the best jiu-jitsu in the middleweight division, and arguably in all of the UFC. He's a notorious finisher, plus he's got punching power, and ever since he switched his camp and moved to Florida, it's like rejuvenated Jacare. Not just in hair, but in style. He's got that nice hair coming back. I like it. But in his last fight, he fought Derek Brunson in Brunson's hometown, and he was able to get the knockout win, and it was an awesome combo that he threw. So I'm expecting that. I'm expecting that Jacare. I know that Kelvin had mentioned that he kind of wants to show off his submissions, and in one of the embedded, Jacare kind of laughed that off. And I laugh it off as well. I mean, I'm expecting it's going to be a Jacare party, and I hope, I really hope that he finally gets a title shot. And, you know, whether it's Whitaker or Romero that eventually wins at 225, I don't know. I don't have that answer just yet. I'm going to have to look into it even more. But I really hope that Jacare gets a title shot out of it and expect him to win as well. It'll be by finish. So the fight before that, a lot of news today. I'm going to break it down a little bit more, but you've got Mackenzie Dern taking on Amanda Cooper. Dern's fighting at flyweight, Cooper's fighting at strawweight. I might as well just get into it right now. So Mackenzie Dern missed weight by 8 pounds. By that, you know, she's supposed to be fighting at 115. She weighed in at 123. So she's 8 pounds over that championship limit. You can be a pound over and still fight at strawweight at 116. So she weighed in way overweight. On Embedded, she said that she missed a flight and missed a whole day, basically, to have in Brazil, which would obviously affect your weight cut. She was tired. She, from what I read on different sources, you know, she wasn't a huge fan of the media obligations. On Monday, though, I did tell you, she basically got kicked out of her camp in Arizona. So she moved her camp to California, And her coach from the camp in Arizona said, you know, she was only training part-time. She wasn't really giving it her all. And this pretty much translated to the weight cut. You know, a lot of people commented, I don't know if I'd call it body shaming, but a lot of people gave her a hard time on her appearance at the weigh-ins. But, I mean, the facts are the facts, and she missed weight. I was basically going to tell you on Monday, pick ABC 3-3 to win her fight this weekend. You know, she's 3-3 total. She's 1-1 in the UFC. But, you know, the jiu-jitsu champ in Dern, she's undefeated as a pro. And I think ABC is going to beat her in Dern's second home of Brazil. I think it's going to be a big surprise. But, you know, she's going to be under Dern's weight. And you would think that Dern would be able to capitalize and take her down. But in her last fight against Ashley Yoder, which was only, 2 months ago, she couldn't take her down. She could barely even take her down. She kept going for tosses, like judo tosses, but they didn't work. And, I mean, I'm sure that that's what Amanda Cooper has been working on in her camp. So expect Amanda Cooper to get the win. You know, she might even get the knockout win. That's what she's predicting. She's predicting a second-round TKO or KO win. So I'm with her. I think that Cooper's going to get the win, and I want Dern to prove me wrong. But, you know, she's got a long way to go now. Apparently, this is the third time she's missed weight in six pro fights, so that doesn't really translate well. I mean, jiu-jitsu tournaments are one thing. I even compared Dylan Danis to a male, Mackenzie Dern, a few weeks ago, and I want her to show me that side. You know, I want her to be able to capitalize, to use her jiu-jitsu, to be a Maya, to be a Jacare, to be a Eddie Bravo. I mean, I want her to be able to showcase her skills, but if she has to move up a weight class to do it, so be it. You know, if she moves up to that 125 weight class, it would do wonders for her, I think. It's a weight class that isn't even featured on the UFC app. And if you don't believe me, go on there right now. I posted a Reddit the other day. If you go on the featherweight division, for the women's featherweight division on the UFC app, there's only one fighter in the division, and Cyborg is champ, which is just ridiculous. I mean, you don't even have Nico Montano. She's a champ. And I don't care what people said about Nico Montano and Holly Holm and Valentina Shevchenko. And this and that, there was so much riffraff going on that I was talking about on Monday and a bit last week, but it's ridiculous that they don't have those fighters on there. You know, you just got a great big payday from ESPN and Disney. At least put your champions on a friggin' app. Like, come on, it's ridiculous. Anyway, maybe the fight of the night, you got John Hands of Stone Lineker taking on Brian Kelleher. I mentioned on Monday it was going to break this fight down more. Today, here you go. So 13 of Lineker's 30 wins have come by knockout, and he's 7-1 in his last 8. The one loss came to TJ Dillashaw. It was on that, it was in December of 2016. It was on that same card when Nunes beat Ronda Rousey. Kelleher is no slouch. You know, he's 19-8. 15 of his wins have come by finish, and he's always fought top talent. So, for example, he fought Jimmy Rivera in Bellator in 2013. He fought Julio Arce in Ring of Combat in 2015, and he beat Henan Barão in his last fight in February. I expect Lineker to get the win, but it's going to be a fast-paced fight. Kelleher's got great movement on the feet, he's got great head movement, and he's a quick striker, and of course Lineker has the power for the division. So expect Lineker to win, but fight of the night candidate between that and, you know, the Carrington Banks and Piccolotti fight. Another big fight on the card that It's a travesty to me. I find it ridiculous. Lyoto Machida and Vitor Belfort. It's a tribute fight, and they're hardly even focusing on the fight. They've got two Brazilian legends, two former champs fighting each other, and there's hardly any build-up to it. You know, it's hard to say, but I feel like, I mean, Vitor is getting slighted here. He's been in the company forever, and he's fought in the UFC since, like, the early 2000s, and they're barely even, you know, giving him any respect. I expect Machida to get the win. Machida's not the old Machida. Lost the last fight to Eric Anders, but, you know, it'll be entertaining. It's two guys that are kind of in the twilight of their career, but expect Machida to get the win in front of the home Brazilian crowd. And then the other fight that I focused on Monday was Alexei Olenek taking on Junior Albini. And like I said, I'm a big Chael Sonnen fan, and Olenek fought Chael Sonnen in Bodog Fight Series in Canada, and they were both middleweight, so kind of interesting, and it's kind of funny that they're both fighting at heavyweight now. Who would have thought? Albini's definitely got the significant size advantage. I mean, they basically have to cut a tire for him to get those shorts, but he's got six submission wins, Olenek, however, has got like 60-plus pro fights, and he should be able to get the win. I said on Monday, Olenek, I disagreed with everyone online. I thought he should have got the win just by technicality. I thought Curtis Blaydes, when he kicked him in the head, touched his ear. Your ear is a part of your head. Therefore, it was an illegal kick while Olenek was on the ground. And Olenek definitely thought the same thing as me. I'm pretty sure he faked, you know, the injury and said that he couldn't go on because he thought he'd get a DQ win. But it didn't happen. Expect Olenek to get the win here. You know, he had an Ezekiel choke from his back in the fight before. He fought Travis Brown and beat him, so it was a fight before that. But yeah, Olenek, expect him to get the win. Also on Saturday, you've got Glory 53. That's a kickboxing event from Lille in France. Starts at 4:30 Eastern on ESPN. If you're not familiar with Glory, like I said, we're focusing on all combat sports, not just MMA and boxing. You're going to see kickboxing. You're going to see, you know, like quintet, grappling tournaments, jiu-jitsu tournaments. So you've got Glory. And if you're not familiar, they feature talents like Rico Verhoeven and current UFC light heavyweight Gokhan Saki. And they actually fought each other in 2013. It's a really interesting matchup if you watch it, because in the first round of the fight, Gokhan kind of slipped and a knee touched the mat. And that counts as a down in kickboxing. So really neat fight. If you've never seen it, go have a look. I'm pretty sure it's actually on Fight Pass. And these fights, this weekend, they're on Fight Pass as well. So you don't have to watch them on ESPN. They'll be live on Fight Pass. So in your co-main event, you've got a women's super bantamweight championship fight between 95-3 Anissa Mexen taking on 29-1 Emil Deby. They're both French. The fight's in France, so you get a hometown crowd. And if you actually take a look into it, Mexen's trying to retain her title. This is her first title defense, but she's actually one of the best female kickboxers alive. And she's an 11-time world champion, trained in savate. So if you don't know what savate is, it's pretty much the French version of kickboxing. And Debbie's an up-and-comer, 29-1. In my opinion, take Mexen to win. 30 years old and 11-time world champion, so go with her in the fight. Your main event, it's a lightweight championship bout. You've got 119-30-5 Sitichai taking on third-ranked Tijani Bastani, and he's 16-2. Take the champ to defend his belt. You know, he's a legend in the kickboxing scene, and it should be a really great fight. And in there's two co-mains. In the other co-main, it's another interesting bout. So I definitely recommend taking a look. You know, at 4:30 Eastern, there's a lot going on, but it definitely would be worth your time to flip over to Fight Pass and watch Glory 53. In boxing, you've got HBO fight, 27-1 Saddam Ali taking on the 21-year-old phenom Jaime Munguia. And like I said, he's 28-0 and he's got 26 knockouts. In Ali's last fight, he won the WBO light middleweight belt, and that was in December of last year. And he beat Miguel Cotto, so big name there. And it's the first big name test for Munguia. You know, he's taking the fight on short notice. Liam Smith dropped out here recently in the last few weeks. But definitely take Ali to win. He beat Cotto in his last fight, and he should be able to cruise through the 21-year-old phenom here. In what some may consider the biggest fight this weekend, certainly the biggest boxing fight, at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN, you've got Jorge Linares taking on Vasily Lomachenko for the WBA and the Ring lightweight titles. I'm not going to focus on this too much because I think it's going to be an easy win for Lomachenko. You know, it's a fight from MSG, so it's a big deal. But he's, like I said, he's trained with TJ Dillashaw, and Dillashaw said that he was the hardest hitter he's ever trained with. And I've heard talk that he'd like to come to the UFC. You know, that'd be awesome. I'd like to see him and Tank Davis make it over to the UFC. I want to see more crossover fights, and I want to see more boxing guys in MMA, period. I think it's great. You know, you've got a fighter like Heather Hardy in Bellator. She's had her ups and downs, but I mean, she's proved that she can make it in MMA. It's not like you've got a bunch of James Tonys fighting Randy Couture. People are able to adapt a little bit better now, and they realize that there's more of a chance that they could get submitted, that they're going to face kickboxers, that they could see different angles. So they're more well-rounded, and I mean, you're going to see some great fights. So I'm going to take Lomachenko to win this. He's one of the best talents out there in boxing, period, and he should be able to get the easy win over Linares. So Monday's guest, we had Curtis Howson from First Row Collectibles. We talked about everything under the sun, from wrestling in Manitoba to the hockey playoffs. Great guy. So if you head on over to their website at firstrow.ca and check out their selection, you know, they've got MMA autographs, wrestling memorabilia, hockey cards, the list goes on. I was on there today. I saw that they had a nice refractor Cody Bellinger rookie card. You know, one of the top talents out there in baseball right now. They've got the classic 90s Muggsy Bogues autographs, you know, signed cards. He was in Space Jam. Who can forget Space Jam? Probably the greatest movie ever made. They've got Slapshot Champ Al Ifrady signed cards as well, and they've got pretty cool mystery packs. So that list goes on, like I said. So for our listeners, enter the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping. Prices on the site are in Canadian dollars, so if you're an American listener, you're going to save roughly 25% depending on what the dollar is today by heading on over to firstrow.ca. I mentioned it at the start, Sisu Mouthguard, I reached out to them. I've used this mouthguard, you know, sparring around with friends, but definitely playing hockey. That's the main sport that I play between that and baseball. Should probably wear the mouthguard in baseball. I've been hit in the face a few times by the ball, but in hockey, you know, I said it last week, I lost my front tooth when I wasn't wearing a mouthguard. These guys, they offer $35,000 dental warranty. It's good for a year, and it'll cover any out-of-pocket dental expenses that you might incur. So head on over to sisuguard.com, enter the promo code FNP10, you'll get 10% off your order. They've got a variety of different mouthguards. They've got a sanitary mouthguard case, which I'm going to end up purchasing here soon to go with my mouthguard. So have a look. I've got a link on our website as well as a photo of one of the mouthguards. Have a look for sure. And they've got all sorts of different kinds. So they're really thin. It's easy to talk. It's easy to drink. Like I said, when you play hockey, it's pretty hard when you got a bulky, boiling bite mouthguard and you're across the ice from someone. You're trying to yell for the puck or you're trying to tell them that somebody's, you know, coming for the puck. Mouthguards like these, they're really thin and you're able to talk quite easily. It's a lot easier to understand someone. I'm sure in MMA and boxing, whatnot, it's a lot easier to talk to your corner people. So definitely head over to sisuguard.com, FNP10 for 10% off your order. So I'm going to get into some of the news from this week, some of the top announced fights. Like I said, Mackenzie Dern actually missing weight. That's probably one of the biggest news stories out there. It's a pretty big surprise that she was 8 pounds over the limit. 7 pounds over the limit, really, but 8 pounds over the championship limit and the 115 limit. Another one of the biggest news stories, and it actually happened in the last 24 hours, the UFC and more likely Dana White himself decided to cut Yair Rodriguez. Pretty interesting, really. Rodriguez, 10-2, you know, big loss to Frankie Edgar, and he took a year off. Apparently, he's been dodging fights. I know online, on Twitter, it was announced that he was going to fight Zabit Magomedsharipov, which would be a great, you know, stylistic matchup. Two guys that are really excellent fluid strikers, great movement on the feet, but Zabit probably has the advantage on the ground and the takedown offense advantage. But apparently also turned down a fight with Ricardo Lamas, which I would think would be a good stylistic matchup on the feet. But again, Lamas would have that takedown offense over him. So pretty surprised that they'd release him. You know, young talent. I'm pretty sure he had a contract with Body Armor as one of their sponsors. And I read that Jim Edwards had announced that Yair will probably be in attendance at tonight's Combat Americas event in Sacramento. So, you know, it could be a good fit for him. I talked back and forth with a few of my friends, and the consensus is he could go to Bellator. You know, he'd definitely make a lot more money off of his sponsorships, his own personal sponsorships there. But I feel with Combat Americas, he's a bilingual star. You know, he's from Mexico. He speaks Spanish, speaks English very well. And he's got so much potential. He's a flashy striker. That could be their marquee fighter. I'm not saying he's a Conor McGregor. He's not flashy like that. But he could be a huge star and really build the brand in Mexico and the southern U.S. states. So tonight, they have an event in Sacramento. I didn't really go over it too much. But, you know, it could be interesting to see what happens there. Maybe they sign him on the spot. Who knows? Read an article by Daniel Vreeland on Flow Combat. I'm not a huge believer. I'm not totally sold on him. But Israel Adesanya came out and said that he wants the winner of Uriah Hall and Paulo Costa. And, you know, he's got a fight coming up against Brad Tavares. It's pretty hard to overlook Brad Tavares. You know, Adesanya in his last fight, he fought Marvin Vettori here very recently at UFC Atlantic City. And Vettori caused some problems in the third round when he was finally able to get some takedowns. Adesanya, the longer guy, he was able to get up pretty easily. I was surprised by that. He had really good I wouldn't say defense, but he had the wherewithal to go up to the cage, stand right up quick, and he did well there. But he's overlooking Brad Tavares, a guy that can definitely take him down and would take him down early in the fight and probably maul him. So, I mean, he wants a tough contest if he's going to take on, I'm assuming Paulo Costa is going to be able to get the win over Uriah Hall, but Uriah Hall's got a lot of power. So whoever wins that fight, and if Adesanya can win his fight, that definitely makes a good matchup for sure. You also have Damian Maia filling in for Santiago Ponzinibbio in Chile against Kamaru Usman. That's next weekend. You know, Usman's a great wrestler, great on the feet. Maia, of course, probably the best jiu-jitsu in the game, so really going to be a great matchup. Coming at you from MMA fighting, it came out that Dustin Poirier accepted a fight against Eddie Alvarez, so we're going to see Poirier-Alvarez 2 at UFC Calgary. That Calgary card's stacked. Apparently it's on Dana's birthday, and he wants to have just a totally stacked card, and it will be. And who knows? You never know. You could see Nico Montano defender belt against Valentina Shevchenko as well on that card, but it's looking less and less likely the further we go along. But we're still a ways out. That card is on July 28th from Calgary. And in Canadian news, former UFC fighter Steve Bosse is apparently going to take on former WBC champ Jean Pascal in a boxing match in June. Pretty interesting stuff. Keep an eye out on that if you're at all interested in the Canadian boxing scene and a couple of older guys duking it out. So there you have it. That's episode number 9 of the podcast. I want to thank our sponsors First Row and Sisu. And hopefully you're able to budget your time tomorrow. I kind of gave you an idea of when the fights are and when you can have a lookout for them. You know, M1, watch them on their app, online as well. One's going to give you basically a pay-per-view for free if you download their app. You've got different things happening on ESPN. You've got Glory Kickboxing. You can also watch it on Fight Pass. You've got HBO Boxing, the Saddam Ali fight. You've got UFC that's going to be on Fox in the States. You can watch it as well on TSN in Canada. And then, of course, the pay-per-view main event, main card. And as well, you've got Bellator and Paramount Network. So try your best to budget your time. Maybe have a look at Combat Americas tonight, just depending on where the Ayer talk goes for the rest of the day. And it'll be interesting to see where he signs. And I'll be back again on Monday to go over the fights and preview next weekend's matchup. So we'll see you on Monday.